I've been obsessed with this Clash of Clans game.
I could see that.
I'm training dragons so that when I get home, I can fight because they take a half hour apiece to train, and I can only train three at a time. And then I've been doing battles with six dragons, two healers, which take 15 minutes, and then a piece, and then 32 archers. That's kind of my go-to.
Your standard starting lineup.
Since I switched to that, I've been dominating. So
this is the nerdiest shit.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
I don't get into stuff like this ever, but I absolutely love it. Like, I adore it.
It, like, you're cool with training dragons on your phone, but you've not watched how to train your dragon.
I have.
Have you?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
I've talked about how much I love it.
Oh, maybe you did. You said, you know what? Yeah, Ryan raved about this movie, and I told him to piss off, and then I saw it, and he was right.
Not so much that, but I did love it.
No, that's right. You didn't actually tell me I'm right, because you don't. But I know what that means.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Ordinary Guys, an Extraordinary Robbery. I am Dave, joined by my partner in crime and co-host, Ryan.
You're PIC, dog.
Yes, whatever that means.
It means partner in crime.
Okay. Yeah, so my pick. Ryan is my pick of co-host and my pick of whatever he just said. We are Movies on Up. This is our episode, our favorite heist movies. Monuments Men opens this week or last week or sometime within the vicinity of this time, this episode dropping. So
it's a movie that exists.
It's a heist-ish movie, so we decided, hey, let's take an easy way out and do heist movies. So our tagline this week, Ordinary Guys, an Extraordinary Robbery. If you know what that movie is from, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter, @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup, or just go moviesonup.com and yell for us and hope that we find you. But spoiler alert,
we probably won't.
Email us. If you are right and we pick you, you will be the prestigious Movies on Up prize package winner.
This is a pretty prestigious honor. It's not gone to a lot of folks.
Nope, it has not. You will be one of the few limited ones.
One of the few, the proud.
We're going to talk heist movies. This one, we generally try to get a little bit more creative on our lists and put a little extra spin onto them, but this one we really didn't.
There are so many heist movies out there. We've never really done a list that was anywhere near any of these.
No. What constitutes a heist movie, really? Because we talked about it off air. One of both of our favorite heists in movies is from The Dark Knight, the very beginning of The Dark Knight. But that's not a heist movie. I'm not counting that as a heist movie. So what exactly does it entail? And mine are a little different. Some of them are about the actual robbery. Some of them are about the planning of it. Some of them are on the aftermath of it. So as long as a heist is a big part of it, I think we were kind of good. But
yeah. I don't think I have any that you would argue and say, oh no, that's not a heist movie, but it is such a broad genre that you can have movies that, you know, most of it is the lead up to the heist. Most of it could be the heist happens in, you know, the first 10 minutes and then it's kind of the fallout from that. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where's we went to.
Generally, we always leave off obvious ones. There's a certain director that has directed two that I would consider heist movies that I love more than most of these movies, but I left them off. We'll get
I
to
didn't a- leave one of them
yeah,
off. I couldn't.
See, so I'll name drop the other one when you get there. But then there's like stuff like Point Break. Yeah, it's about bank robberies. I didn't consider it a heist movie. We left that off, but enough about that. We'll get to our also-rans and all that later. Ryan, your number five favorite heist movie
is directed and starring a guy that we waxed so much last week of how much we love, and he's one of our favorite movie stars. That's Bill Murray. Directed a movie in 1990 called Quick Change, starring Bill Murray, Gina Davis, Randy Quaid. It is, to this point, as far as I know, Murray's only directing credit. He did co-direct it with somebody else, but I probably should give them credit, but I'm not going to because I like Bill Murray, so the hell with it. I think it's really kind of an under-the-radar kind of movie. It may be, and this is going to sound weird, it may be the most overrated, underrated movie I've ever come across in my life. But it is still a pretty entertaining heist movie. Obviously, starring Bill Murray, it's not really a gritty tale of a bank robbery. It's pretty light. It's full of the Bill Murray charm, where the bank robbery happens within the first 15 minutes. And the rest of it is him, Gina Davis, and Randy Quaid just trying to get away with it, trying to get out of New York. And it's full of one-liners from Bill Murray. One of my favorites is, and the situation kind of deteriorates for him. He gets kind of stuck in this room full of a bunch of gangsters, and the gangster's like, "That ain't my dick in your back." And, you know, just in perfect Bill Murray style, he's like, "Well, that's a relief." I love that kind of humor, and this movie is absolutely full of it. And I don't think you see a lot of heist movies. You have a lot that can be like farcical, and you have some that can be totally serious, but very few of them are kind of that real dry humor, which is why this kind of stands out to me. And Tony Shalhoub as the cab driver that no one can understand, but he's the only one that kind of knows what's going on. He was tremendous in that movie. It's very, very good. Maybe not what you're expecting from a heist movie, but I couldn't not put it on because I love Bill Murray that much.
This was actually on my list. I just cut it off because you did and replaced it with one of my also-rans. So I do love this movie, and this one is about more the aftermath than the actual heist, but the heist is what gets them there, and it's very, very funny, very, very Bill Murray. Randy Quaid's actually bearable in it. It's just, it's a fun, fun movie. My number five, also very fun, also in the same kind of way, very funny. It's about the heist, and then the getaway, and then the coming back and planning another heist. It is Bottle Rocket from 1996, the directorial debut of Wes Anderson, which to this day, still my favorite Wes Anderson movie. As much as I love Wes Anderson, Dignan is one of my favorite movie characters ever. You have Owen Wilson, just perfection. You have
the Wilsons.
The other Wilson Luke. Brother as Future Man. No, the other one, Andrew Wilson, as Future Man. Oh. Just Future Man and Dignan alone are worth this movie for me. And then James Caan and the Lone Rangers. Just a very, very, very fun movie. It's small-time criminals that think they're doing bigger than they are, and they end up running away to Mexico. Also, a little love story thrown in there, and then coming back in the return heist. It's just such a fun movie, and absolutely a heist movie, because there's two of them in there. And I love this movie. It's such a simple concept that was executed flawlessly. And we mentioned it on last week or next week's episode about Quentin Tarantino writing True Romance and not getting in his way.
That was last week.
Yeah, this is before Wes Anderson is kind of getting in his own way, where it's, yeah, it still feels like a Wes Anderson movie, but it's the most straightforward Wes Anderson movie there's been to this day. And I like that about it. I love Rushmore. I love pretty much everything he's done. And I just really, really love this movie.
I like it too. I left it off the list because I knew that you would put it on there. I'm a little surprised it's as low as it is, but that makes me excited to see what movies you have ahead of it. Ahead of my number five is my number four. It comes from 2004. This was my first for a lot of guys involved with this project. I didn't see this movie until after Daniel Craig was cast as Bond, and it was the first Matthew Vaughn flick I ever caught, and that's because it was his debut. It was Layer Cake with Daniel Craig, Sienna Miller, and Colm Meaney. After seeing Daniel Craig in this movie, I was convinced he was going to be an awesome Bond. And I think that history has bared that out, and he was pretty good. You kind of mentioned with Anderson, you know, that's his first movie, and it was, and maybe even him and Tarantino probably more so got in their own way. I don't think Matthew Vaughn ever really did get in his own way. Everything he's done, you look at Kick-Ass.
Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust.
First Class.
They've all been so different, different genres, but awesome examples of each genre. And Lair Cake is really, really great. It's not your standard heist. I mean, it does involve stolen ecstasy from neo-Nazis, and that's kind of the heist part of it. But a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous, so to speak. And they catch you. Vaughn catches you right from the beginning, and you're so drawn into the story and the intrigue in it, trying to catch up, that I didn't realize until the very end of the movie, I never knew what Daniel Craig's name was.
Yeah, and that's the last line of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's such a, you know, a big thing, how hard you're trying to hang on to this movie to not get left behind. And I just watched it because I wanted to see if the new Bond guy was going to be good. And not only did it show me, like, oh, yeah, Daniel Craig is awesome, but it's like, oh, this Matthew Vaughn guy is pretty good, too.
Yeah, see, I was very excited for this. I watched this as soon as I possibly could because this was coming from
2004?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I went and saw it in theaters because it was coming from a producer that produced two other heist movies that I love very, very much that I left off that I'm sure we'll talk about later.
One of which I did not.
Yes. So, I mean, it was coming from that, and it very much felt like one of those movies, but with a little bit... I don't even know what to say.
It's more straight.
A little bit more something, yes.
Not straightforward,
yes,
but...
Yes, yeah. And it was so good, and I mean... As much as I love this movie, it's probably my least favorite Matthew Vaughn movie, but he's one of the only few directors that I can look at his filmography and say, every one of those movies is perfect.
He's never let you down.
He's never made a movie that I've been like, it's all right, but like they're damn near perfect. Every movie, I will watch any Matthew Vaughn movie over and over and over again and never get tired of it.
And that's why I wanted him to do Star Wars, because everything he'd done had been awesome. So, yeah, just do Star Wars because you can't miss, apparently.
Yeah, they landed up all right, though.
Yeah, true.
My number four, it was one of my also-rans, but I replaced it with Quick Change just because it was hard to leave out of my top five. It probably would have been my six. It feels like it's an underrated movie because it did star, you know, it's got a big-time director in Frank Oz. It's got a big-time...
Speaking of Star Wars.
...cast of Robert De Niro, Edward Norton, and Marlon Brando. It is 2001's The Score, which I feel like is a great heist movie, and I feel like Edward Norton had already established himself as a phenomenal actor, and then this just kind of reminded everybody that, like, oh, yeah, this guy's amazing, because he went, you know, he had this movie with a dying Marlon Brando and Robert De Niro before he had completely tainted his reputation, and Norton was the standout. I mean, he went head-to-head with... And Norton only been on the scene for less than 10 years at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Brando, who's maybe one of the, you know, definitely one of the best film actors we've had. But in the decade, you know, maybe the 60s, he was the, you know, the best thing we had going. De Niro, you could make that argument for maybe like the late 80s into the 90s. And then I think, yeah, Edward Norton, I don't know if he necessarily took that role, but he... I mean, no slouch, but that's two real big, strong actors to try and act against.
And he nailed it. And it's such a good, because it is the whole planning stage and to see how far, yeah, it's the typical like, oh, I'm done until they bring me back in kind of stories. But Norton's performance in that and what he does to go through with the heist and the reveal is so heartbreaking because of how good he was. And it just makes you feel... When everything comes to, and it's such a good movie, though. But I feel like for the firepower that's in it and how good it came out, I don't feel like it really stood over time. Like, I feel like it's just kind of one of those forgotten ones that it's absolutely one of my favorite heist movies.
And I don't think it's necessarily, obviously, because there's nothing wrong with that movie. I think that just as a whole, it's a broad genre that has a lot of good movies in it. So... I don't know that this necessarily gets forgotten, but there are just so many that honestly, like there's a couple old movies that maybe we'll mention in the also-rans that I don't have, not because they're not great, but there's just so many to choose from. It almost seems like the next great one you see, you're like, oh, nothing can be better than this. And then, you know, 2 years later, something will come out that's awesome. It's kind of interesting how this has worked out. We've talked a lot about directors and their styles, and this seems like a Tarantino movie, but it's, you know, it's before he really got in his own way. My number three is from a director that definitely has a style, but it's not this. And when he's able to not make a Spike Lee joint, you can get something like Inside Man from 2006.
This is very high on my also-ran list also. It was very hard to leave off. Like, it would have been right behind The Score because I've said it before. This is a Spike Lee movie, not a Spike Lee joint.
Yes.
and fantastic, but I didn't even let you talk about it. I was just excited because this movie is such a good heist movie.
It's awesome. Again, you know, the firepower, you know, that you mentioned in the score. You have Denzel in this, who's really, really good. Jodie Foster, who's very strong. And then Clive Owen, who, you know, had that span in like the mid to late 2000s when he was in a lot of stuff.
And this is about when I wanted him to be
Bond.
Bond. Like, yeah. After Croupier, I watched Croupier, and like, even though I don't watch the Bond, it's like, oh, that's James Bond. Like, that dude is James Bond.
Yeah.
And I mean, he went on to have a fantastic career.
Yeah,
anyway,
he did,
but
all right.
Yeah, he absolutely nailed this movie. You're going against Jodie Foster and Denzel Washington, and he stood out.
Mm-hmm. And on the surface, this one is maybe more of a straightforward heist than like Layer Cake was. I mean, it is about a bank robbery. And for Dave to mention how much he likes it, when right at the beginning of the movie, you have Denzel sitting in jail talking about the perfect robbery, it's not necessarily a technique that Dave likes or can really stomach. But when that happens right out of the get-go, and you know he'll still talk about how good the movie is, that kind of shows you that it does stand up. You have a story that is very compelling. Again, it's got its twists and turns as most good heist stories do, but I think that's where Spike Lee really did a great job of just letting the story kind of be the star, because there is so much compelling going on. If this is such a perfect robbery, how did Denzel get, what went wrong?
Like, we keep saying getting out of the way, and like, Spike Lee has a style, it works well for him, but he realized on this one that the story didn't need to be Spike Lee'd. And he got out of the way. And a good director does that. Like, a good director knows when, you know, he could have added that, he could have done his stuff on here. But instead, he just directed a straightforward movie. And it's fantastic. Maybe it's not my favorite Spike Lee movie.
Oh, okay.
But it's up there. And it's one of my favorite directing jobs of his. And it's a fantastic movie. And just everything about it is so, so good.
A lot of my favorite heist movies, and maybe even a lot of the best heist movies in general, you end up with a criminal that's either, you know, the protagonist or even the antagonist in some cases, but someone that the audience really, you know, can kind of get behind. I think by nature, most of us, you know, aren't criminals, but when you can sort of get in the headspace of one and want to root for one through the entirety of the movie, you know, that's... It gets you invested that much more, and that makes a good movie.
Speaking of good movies, my number three, yeah, it's a heist movie. It's a little bit different. It's from 1992, starring an amazing cast. Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd, Ben Kingsley, Mary McDowell, River Phoenix, and David Strathairn. It is Sneakers. Robert Redford runs this cyber group that are, you know, test security systems. They're hired by federal agents to get a black box. They do. Blackmailed. Turns out they're not federal agents, so they got to steal the black box back and then realize who they have to trust. And it's such a good movie. It's such a charming cast. Like, Sidney Poitier and Robert Redford are movie stars. And yeah, this was maybe after their, you know, their prime.
Definitely for Poitier. Like,
yeah, but they're just so charming. And this was Aykroyd, you know. Yeah, he was Aykroyd in this movie, but Dan Aykroyd was a good movie star at the time also, and it's just depressing to watch now because it's hard for me to watch River Phoenix and not think about what his career would have been like, because dude was so good in everything he was ever in, and it's just such a fun movie. It's dealing with like big time stuff, and there is a sense of urgency, there is a sense of consequence that, yeah, it's a charming cast, but you realize that, oh, they're actually in danger. There's real danger here. And it just so well done and very well executed. And just phenomenal cast, awesome story. Very, very, very good movie.
It is really good. But there again, like, I could see a scenario in which that makes my top five. I didn't have it on because there are just so many to consider.
And it's not a traditional heist movie. Like, I feel like it is because it is about a robbery. It is
about two heists.
Yeah.
Get it the first time, get it the second time.
But it's not the traditional, like, bank. You know, right. The target something a little bit different. So that one was one of the first ones that popped into my mind,
yeah.
Because I absolutely, like, I love this movie. Like, my top three are movies that I adore so much. And, I mean, I like, Sneakers is one of those. I saw it when I was 13 in the theaters, and I loved it. And I watch it now, and I love it. Like, it's one of those that it's just such a good movie.
I was maybe a little bit older when I saw my number two. But whereas maybe Inside Man wasn't necessarily in the style of Spike Lee, my number two is definitely in a style, and it is, you know, we've kind of danced around this fella through the entire podcast, and there are a couple that are both in that style, and they could either one or both could end up here. I could have picked Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but instead I went with 2000 Snatch, starring Jason Statham, Brad Pitt, Benicio Del Toro. And the reason I went with Snatch is because, like, Layer Cake was my introduction to Matthew Vaughn. This was actually the first Guy Ritchie movie that I had ever seen. I went back and watched Lock, Stock. And these movies seem like they could be sequels because they are very much...
They feel like they're in the same universe.
Yeah, they're painted with the same colors. And, you know, you have a lot of guys that appear. Vinnie Jones is in both of them. A lot of guys are in each of these. But... every time I watch this movie, and it is one that I could watch almost at the drop of a hat, I remember how much I really loved Guy Ritchie's style. I kind of started, you know, maybe the first director where I was ever like, oh, I love this guy's stuff, was Tarantino. And Guy Ritchie seemed very Tarantino-esque, but instead of being as heavy on the dialogue, he was kind of more heavy on the visuals. It was like a Tarantino movie on coke.
And his characters were more fun.
They were
Tarantino has the eccentric characters. Ritchie had these eccentric characters.
They were like comic book characters.
They were comic book characters. They were comic strip characters. They were caricatures that still fit in this world.
Frankie Fourfingers, Bullet-Tooth Tony, Bricktop, Boris the Blade, Doug the Head. I mean, those are just, I think it's just off the top of
my head.
That
sounds like an 80s cartoon character.
Like a Dick Tracy lineup.
Yeah.
But I love this movie. And there again, Brad Pitt doing a character role as the Pikey.
It's one of my favorite Brad Pitt performances. I mean,
think
this
it's my favorite.
It probably is, just because he's so good. He's not Brad Pitt in this movie. I mean, he's in the layers that he has. Like, he's just a drunken Pikey that can punch people. But he adds so many layers to it so subtly. And just when I think of Brad Pitt as an actor, his resume is so impressive. But the number one thing I think of is the other gypsies holding them back, is the trailer is just burning.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no sound in that scene. That's underscore. But just his, it's so powerful. Like, you can't hear him. All you can do is see him. And it's such an amazing, like, just screenshot of his career. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, Snatch and Lockstock, they would be 2 and 3 on my list. They absolutely would be 2 and 3 on my list. Much like I talked about, Sneakers is depressing to watch because of River Phoenix.
Yeah.
I get that way with Snatch and Lockstock because I still love them.
Yeah.
And that's the end of an era, pretty much. Like, he went on, he married Madonna, did some crap. He tried to get back with Rock and Rolla and Revolver. They just didn't land for me. They weren't.
You know, it's like the first, you know, maybe the first two albums that a band comes out with, and they're just like the best of the decade, and then they never quite hit that again. Yeah, that sucks, but it doesn't take away from how much both of these movies.
Bring up Swept Away as much as you want. It will never diminish how much I love these two movies. And I don't know which one. I probably have to put Snatch ahead of it. I saw Lock, Stock as soon as it released on DVD because it was on my radar, and that made me excited to go see Snatch in theaters when it came out. So, I mean, I was introduced to him through Lock, Stock, and I feel like Snatch is more cohesive. I feel like it's a better put-together piece. It's less sloppy.
I think it's more accessible.
It's more accessible, not just because of the cast, but it is far more accessible because you have Americans thrown in there.
I was going to say, you can understand most of the things that are being said.
It's less British, but the characters, I mean, both movies have just characters that are phenomenal, and the friendships in them, like in Snatch, it's more prominent in Lock, Stock because there's more of them, but I really love Guy Ritchie as a director, and you know, the Sherlock movies are fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're good, they're serviceable, but they're not Guy Ritchie movies to me, and
it seems like he remembers how to do these things, and you can get hints in the Sherlock movies. I mean, obviously, those movies are not supposed to be
these. And I have that hope that...
But it's reminiscent.
I have that hope that he, at some point, goes back to it. Because, you know, I thought we lost Danny Boyle after Slumdog and 127 Hours, and then he makes Trance, and it's like, oh, that's a Danny Boyle movie. That's absolutely a Danny Boyle movie. And I just hope that I mean, he's in the news. Guy Ritchie's in the news about to sign on a six-picture deal about King Arthur. But it's like, I just hope somewhere there's, because Snatch and Lockstock weren't expensive movies.
No, they were. I mean, despite, you know, having Brad Pitt, having Benicio del Toro, who was a big name at the time. Yeah, you could have a relatively large cast, and it was kind of a smaller movie, but it's so good.
It's so good. And I still, it's on the movie channels all the time. It's one of those that if it's on, I don't care what time of the day it is, what day. If I just watched it yesterday, I'm turning it on. Dennis Farina, also very, very good in that movie. Mm-hmm. He's also in my, I'm skipping ahead my number two. He's in my number one. Spoiler alert. Put a pin in that. My number two, one of the most epic movies ever. You know, yeah, Lord of the Rings was an epic, like, fantasy film. Star Wars, an epic space movie. You don't get a lot of, I mean, other than The Godfather. Like, when you think epic crime movies, you think Godfather. I've never seen Godfather. When I think epic crime movie, 1995's Heat, directed by Michael Mann, comes to mind. It's damn near 3 hours. I mean, I think it's a little over 3 hours. But you have Pacino, De Niro, Val Kilmer,
Tom Sizemore,
John Voight, Tom Sizemore, Ashley Judd, Natalie Portman, Tom Noonan. There's so many people in this movie, and it's so good. You have Pacino, you have De Niro, two heavy hitters. You have Val Kilmer, who sneaks in, and this is one of my go-to examples about how, yeah, he's a punchline now, but dude has one of the best careers I've ever seen. It shows in this movie because he's third billed behind Pacino and De Niro at the top of their game, and he's right there with them. And it's just such a good cat and mouse movie. I could go on and on about how much I love this movie. But
you want
just,
to? Because spoiler alert, it's my number one.
Okay, then I'll let you take over because I absolutely just it's such a perfect. It's a remake of a Michael Mann made for TV movie that I've never seen. But
and why would you?
I don't want to because it's not going to top this. And you know, De Niro and Pacino are known for crime movies. You look at Goodfellas and all those.
Godfather. I mean, it's, you have
Scarface, Carlito's Way. Like
you have in '95, this is like Jordan versus Bird. You know what I mean? It's like an all-star game that you're watching in a movie, and that's just with the top two build.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, like you said, with Kilmer and John Voight and Sizemore. The heist part of this movie, yeah, it is about a group of bank robbers. But to me, I don't really, when I think of this movie, I don't think of the actual heist. I think of the shootout in the street and then the final kind of climax. It's one of the most intense movies. For being 3 hours, it's pretty intense
It's edge of your seat the whole way through. And it's, we mentioned this. Yeah, the heist isn't the biggest part of the movie. But everything in this movie is because of something that happened at the heist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more the aftermath. It's not them planning a heist and going through with the heist. It's them trying to get away with the heist. And it's
like in Quick Change. It's the
different
fallout.
Different kind of movie.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the fallout. Like these guys just, I mean, they did some terrible things. And they're just trying to get away with it. And one of my favorite parts about the movie is kind of the line that, if you're going to be a criminal, you can't have anything in your life that you can't walk away from in 30 seconds.
And that's one of the most like gut-wrenching scenes of it because it was a legitimate love story. That was Brenneman and De Niro, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like he's willing to go through with it. It's just like it's such a like gut-wrenching scene. And then you have Natalie Portman like in the bathtub. Her father's so obsessed that like she doesn't see a reason to live anymore. So it's like there's a lot more to it. It's a cat and mouse. It feels like a mini series.
Yeah.
Like it feels like you could make this a 10 episode run on HBO and it would be fantastic because I left wanting more. Very rarely do I watch a 3 hour movie and I just want more. But just such a phenomenal, fantastic movie. And I love Michael Mann. And this is the epitome of a Michael Mann movie.
Yeah, I mean, as much as, it was Pacino and De Niro at the top of their game, it was also Michael Mann at the top of his. I guess when you make a movie like this that is damn near perfect, it's very hard to try and duplicate that. And I mean, I don't think he ever has, but I can't fault somebody for not being able to make two Heat. You know what I mean?
And it's a perfect movie. Yeah. I really think it is. I can't think of anything wrong with this movie. Much like my number one, that I have dubbed.
This better be really good.
It is. It is one of the most perfect movies I've ever seen in my life. it is also another one of those. I don't care what time of day it is, when it started. If I'm just going to catch the last 10 minutes, I'll watch it because it is on TV a lot. I've loved the movie from the second it came out. I saw it opening night. I'm a sucker for Steven Soderbergh. I'm a sucker for George Clooney. Out of Sight. Out of Sight is one of, you know, I'm a sucker for Elmore Leonard. And this is the most Elmore Leonard movie. It's the closest Elmore Leonard adaptation on film. It's a phenomenal movie. It's acted so perfectly. And it's directed phenomenally because it's not chronological. It is kind of all over the place. Maybe it's a loose heist movie. George Clooney's a bank robber. He's a guy that his whole life is doing heists. It's all leading up to, you know, robbing Albert Brooks's place, which is the pinnacle at the end.
I was going to say it was all leading up to having sex in the trunk of a car.
No, that was near the beginning. Well, they didn't actually do it, but wow. Close. Might as well have.
I did it.
But it's just, even like somebody like Michael Keaton, who's barely in it, amazing in this. Dennis Farina, this is probably my favorite Farina role, even though it was brief. J-Lo, who I've never been super into as a movie star, perfect in this movie. And just the scenes with her and Clooney, there's this chemistry where they both know it's wrong, but it's so undeniable. And the scene,
I suspect if you and I were cast opposite George Clooney, we'd have the same chemistry. We both know how wrong it would be, but each
wouldn't
like, care.
The scene in the hotel bar, it's just brilliant, where they're just trying to pretend they don't know who each other are. And it's so good. Even Steve Zahn, like Catherine Keener, everybody shows up and has – Don Cheadle is brutal in this movie. Like Don Cheadle, likable, lovable Don Cheadle is a badass in this movie. And I honestly can't – it is one of the most perfect movies I've ever seen in my life. And I realize I just said that about Heat, but I think this even more so. Like – there's maybe three or four movies I consider absolutely perfect. Two of them just happen to be on this
list.
Two
of them we just talked
about.
Two
of them we just...
The other's Gremlins.
Even another one. Like, maybe it's a heist movie. Like, Gone Baby Gone, if you're counting kidnapping as a heist. Like, it was a perfectly executed heist.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I think that's a perfect movie. But Out of Sight is absolutely my number one. And when we first came up with this, it was no doubt it was number one. I've mentioned it on the podcast a lot. If you've listened for a long time, you've heard me talk about how much I love Out of Sight. So it shouldn't be any surprise there.
Anything surprising that you left off?
Not surprising. I left off Snatch and Lock Stock.
Yeah.
Inside Man I had left off because I kind of assumed you would have it. The Town, I mentioned Gone Baby Gone because I don't really consider it a heist movie, but The Town absolutely
is.
Yeah,
that one is.
And
it's very good, too.
Really, really good. Renner's performance alone is worth watching that. And Three Kings.
Yeah.
Three Kings.
Another Clooney joint.
Yeah, Clooney. It's just a really good, unique, different kind of movie.
Yeah. I kind of feel like if I wanted to go really old school, Ocean's 11 and not the Clooney one, the one with the Rat Pack, I think is really great. Not that there's anything wrong, you know, with the newer iteration, but that would have been one that I would have looked at. The Thomas Crown Affair, I feel like, with Remington Steele. And again, you know, the remake is awesome. The original is very good, too. Treasure of the Sierra Madre, not necessarily so much about the heist. One of my favorite Bogart flicks. Reservoir Dogs is one that I love that movie.
That one never even crossed my mind, but yeah.
Yeah.
That is a heist movie. Was that not a heist movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make is there are so many. Even my also-rans, I would stop and watch any of those movies. I don't know if it's because it's hard-coded in our DNA as dudes that we like heist movies, but I just feel like there are so many that are just so damn good.
If you ask me, like, hey, do you like heist movies?
I'd give you a different five every time.
As a rule, probably not. Like, if you ask me, like, heist movies as a genre, yay or nay, probably not. But they're the kind of thing that when they're done well, they're perfect. I mean, I just called my top two perfect movies that are heist movies. So, yeah, maybe it's like sci-fi. I'm not a fan of sci-fi overall, but then you get stuff like Sunshine and Moon that to me are just so close to my heart that when I love a sci-fi movie, I really, really love a sci-fi movie. So I guess heists are the same. Because, yeah, Ocean's 11, I didn't mind the Clooney Pitt Damon one, but much like we talk about Guy Ritchie's later career doesn't diminish my love for Lock, Stock, and Snatch, I think the two or three unnecessary sequels diminished my liking for that movie because I liked Ocean's 11. But 12 and 13 just made me kind of have a sour taste for the entire franchise. So
yeah, I didn't need them, but, you know, whatever. I
don't need Julia Roberts pretending to be Julia Roberts because she looks so much like Julia Roberts.
Indeed. Yeah, like I said, we mentioned a lot of ones that just didn't quite make our list. So I'm sure we left some off that you absolutely love, and let us hear about them. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. You can tweet them at us at MoviesOnUp, or you can send them off to us on Facebook, facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your favorite heist movies, or if you even like the genre as a whole. If you would like to hear more from my co-host, you can do so in the following ways.
Hit me up at Dave Bacella on Twitter. Check out my other show, Eric and Dave, Talking with Eric and Dave. That's at ericanddave.com. We should have had our 75th episode. Should be up by now. Our Valentine's Day extravaganza love should be following next week. Then we have a fun episode planned at the late end of the month. So check those out or find me at davebacella.com. That's B-I-S-C-E-L-L-A.
We will have our Valentine's Day extravaganza, two episodes next week, sort of some non-traditional love stories followed by, I guess it would be like a Movies on Up love letter. So definitely stop back next week, check those out. But until then,
keep it up.